all the training and the discipline, the training for reigning and all the rest of it that I've gone through, thinking that God let me down when he never let me down, thinking that he led me over here to punish me when he didn't send me over there to punish me, but he's always leading me in victory wherever I go. He always leads us in triumph. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's series from the New Testament epistle of Romans continues. Pastor is entitled today's message, What is a Living Sacrifice? Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning as we continue in our in-depth study of the book of Romans in the New Testament. We're now in chapter 12. We're only going to cover a couple of verses this morning. Allow me to read them to you, please. Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament, beginning at verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the church says, amen. Amen. Now listen, we just concluded with three incredible chapters in the book of Romans, chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11, which all had to do with the nation of Israel. It talked about in chapter 9, Israel's past, chapter 10, Israel's present condition. And then in chapter 11, we covered the future restoration of the nation of Israel there at the second coming of Christ. Now, a lot of people skip over those three chapters because it just doesn't seem relevant to stop at chapter 8 and not already jump over to chapter 12. We didn't do that, and I'm so thankful that we didn't. Now, as we go back just for a moment and remember chapter 8, the place where I asked and said to you, I said to myself, I said, listen, if there's one place that I would like to live is right there in chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Romans, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, as you already know, begins with absolutely no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Meaning this, that when we come to Christ, we ask him to come and be the Lord of our life. You know, immediately God saves us if we're sincere in our hearts. And not only that, he washes away all of our sins. We become a new creation in Christ. And we will never, ever, ever face the judgment of our sins because Jesus paid them all. He didn't just pay our past sins. He didn't just pay our present sins. He paid for all the sins of all people for all time. Amen? So important to know that. Whenever it says that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that means that we have been imputed into our account. God has done something. It's called justification, that spotless, perfect, sinless record of Christ into our account, just as if we had never sinned. Justification, remember, is that one-time act. It doesn't happen over and over. It's a one-time judicial decision by God. It's not a feeling. It is a fact. However, after justification comes what we call sanctification. And that is a process where we walk out our perfect position in the eyes of God, meaning just as we've never sinned, even though we know we do sin. But we walk that out and we do it by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, loved one, listen to me. This morning, I want to talk to you about what is a living sacrifice? And this may be the most important message that you hear this year because it's vital. You know, the thing is that after we've learned all the things from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 11, all what God has done for us, we who were dead in sins and dead in trespasses and separated from God, and now that he saved us and we look at all the incredible benefits of God, Paul is going to say to us, oh, listen, he says, listen, you need to conform your life now by the power of the Holy Spirit to your exalted position. Because, you know, to be a saint of God is the greatest thing in all the world. Amen? To be saved, there's nothing greater. Beginning now, what is a living sacrifice? Let's look at verse 1 of Romans 12, where Paul cries out and he says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Did you notice that first few words? Paul said, I beseech you. You know what Paul is really saying? He's saying in such deep tenderness and love. He's not forcing anything on us. He's doing this. He says, listen, I am pleading with you through the Holy Spirit of God. I'm exhorting you. I am begging you because God loves you so much and he's done so much for you. Did you notice that Paul's not pleading with the world? He's pleading, it says, the brethren. That means all of us and the sistren, okay? It's a little humor. Now, I didn't say it was a lot of humor. I said it was a little humor. Now, it says also, how is he doing it? It says, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God, chapter 1, all that we've learned from chapter 1, all the way through chapter 11. In other words, we now have perfect standing with God. That's our position, maybe not our practice, of course. But not only that, the sanctification, the justification, the reconciliation, the glorification, the peace with God, sons of God, co-heirs with God, all the incredible things that God, the benefits that he's poured out upon us. Romans 5:5, for example, the love of God has now been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. So Paul says this, when he says, I beseech ye, he says, I want you to look at all the merciful benefits of God, all that he's done for you. And Paul cries out and he says, listen, I use the mercies of God. Literally, he's saying, I use the deep, incredible compassion of God, our Father, to move upon your life and move upon your heart. For what? That you would do something now. That you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. That word present is a beautiful, beautiful word in the Greek language. It is literally a picture of an Old Testament priest carrying the sacrifice to lay upon the altar in front of the Holy of Holies there, in front of the face of God, if you will, and say, here is my sacrifice that I am presenting to you. Listen, there is nothing greater for a believer to present himself, herself, as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. If you want to know the key to the abundant life, I can promise you it's not getting all, it's giving all to God. That's what it's all about. You know, this verse right here has been called God's altar call, where God is calling those that he's saved, the sheep of his pasture, the sons, the daughters of God. He's saying, come to me now. You have to present yourself as a living sacrifice. And did you notice there those two words that are plural? It says brethren, and then it says and bodies. Present your bodies, just not you and you and you. It means are all of us, meaning the body of Christ. Now listen carefully. Let me tell you how important verse 1 and 2 is. If you don't do, Christian, listen, if you don't do verse 1 and 2, you will never get to verse 3 in your walk, okay? You'll never reach it. That's why I'm not going into verse 3 today, only these two verses. Because if you don't do verse 1 and verse 2, you'll never reach verse 3. And not only that, for the rest of your life as a believer, you will be lost in the body of Christ until the day you go home to be with the Lord. You see, the word present there is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It is a divisive decision, a dedicated decision that you do yourself. You say, listen, after all God has done for me, man, I have to do that. Remember what we used our bodies for before we came to the Lord? I mean, we were lost, dead, trespasses, and sins. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:13, it says this, and do not present your bodies or your members, that word presents the same word used in Romans 12:1 here. Don't present your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. In other words, here I am. Lord, you have my hands, you have my eyes, you have my feet, you have all of my faculties. Use me any way you want to. I don't live that way anymore. Because we're no longer dead in trespasses and sins, amen? See, our physical body, whether you know it or not, it's neutral. It's either going to be controlled by the old life, the old man, or it's going to be controlled by the new man. And the Bible tells us that our old man is dead. We reckon him dead. I know that the old Bill, the old Billy, the bad Billy, he doesn't seem dead, okay? But he really is dead. But I don't go by feelings. Because the Bible doesn't tell me to go by feelings. It says to go by facts. In other words, we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Amen? Now, what's wonderful, Christian, is that you don't make yourself alive unto God. God has already made you alive unto Him when He saved you. What did Paul tell us in Galatians 2:20? He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It means I died, man. I'm a dead man. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We have that new life. We're a new creation in Christ. And not only that, talking about our bodies, listen to this scripture from 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body, Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You're the temple of God. You know, there's several words for the temple site, for example. In the Greek, one of them would be heron. That would be the outer court of the temple. But the word used here where it says you're the temple of God, that's called in the Greek word naos, meaning you are the holy of holies, the church. We're the temple of the living God. And Paul goes on and he says, for you were bought with a price, and we know that was the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and glorify God in your spirit, which are God's. Everything that we do now that we're bought at a price, shouldn't we bring glory to God? What does it say in Matthew 5:16? Jesus told us, he said, listen, you're the light of the world. He said, let your light so shine before men that it may glorify your God in heaven. That's what it's all about. And you know what? It says to present ourselves how? Look at it again. As a what? Living sacrifice. You know, after all these years, I mean, here I am standing before you today, 35 years old. Think about it. You know, and after all these years as a Christian, you know I'm lying. I use that just to see if you're still out there. And I looked through the Bible again this week, over and over, and I was thinking, Lord, about this living sacrifice that you want us to become. And you know what I finally figured out? Did you know that the only acceptable worship in the entire New Testament is the offering of oneself to God? That's it. If you're not doing that, you're not worshiping God. You haven't presented yourself as a living sacrifice. And you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ has already made the only dead sacrifice that the New Testament requires, and God has accepted it. See, God doesn't want you to die for Him. God our Father wants you to start living for Him. What did Jesus tell us in Luke 9:23? He says, if anyone desires to come after me, here's what you have to do. You have to deny yourself. It's no longer about you, it's about me, Jesus said. Deny yourself. Take up the cross daily. And he says, and follow me. That's where true living is always found. I promise you that you lose nothing of value in this life. Nothing. You want to follow your plan, you're going to lose a lot. But if you follow God's plan, you're not going to lose a thing. Just think about Paul's life. You talk about a man who was a perfect example or a picture of a living sacrifice. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 1:20? He said this, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, here it comes, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. That when people see me, Paul says, they're going to see Jesus in me. He goes on and he says, whether by life, whether by death, doesn't matter to me. And then he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I wish and pray and hope that this church, that we can say for this church to live is Christ. What a statement. Not to live for the Super Bowl or live for this or live for that, but to live for our Lord and Savior. Amen. Boy, that's what it's all about. Paul said, no, listen, I've sold out for me to live, whatever I do. They tried to stone Jesus out of Paul. They tried to beat Jesus out of Paul. They tried to starve Jesus out of Paul, but it never worked, did it? No, he said, I'm living, and as long as I live, I'm magnifying Jesus Christ in my body. Why? Because Paul said, I'm a living sacrifice. He owns me, and I love him. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. And you may say, well, Bill, that was Paul. Loved one, listen to me. There wasn't a separate Christianity for Paul and a separate Christianity for the 21st century church. No, not at all. So look at it again, verse 1. What is a living sacrifice? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And look here. He says, holy. A living sacrifice, you, me, is a holy sacrifice, meaning you have now been set apart for God, set apart for the use of God for his purposes on this earth. I pray, Christian, that is the cry of your heart, where you say, Lord, use me no matter what it is. Send me wherever you want to go, whatever you want me to do. Lord, here's my mouth, use it. Here are my hands, use it. Here's my, whatever I have, Lord, you've given it to me anyway, use me. Use me to do whatever you want in this life. Matter of fact, look what it says here. It says, not only is it holy, but it's the only acceptable sacrifice to God. Did you catch that? It's the only acceptable sacrifice to God. That word acceptable means well-pleasing, or literally in the Greek, it would be extraordinarily pleasing unto God, which means when a Christian, a believer that's been saved, and he looks back at all that God has done for him, he goes, oh, listen, in light of that, Father, you know what? You bet. Here I am. I place myself on your altar, Lord, and you do with me, send me, use me, do whatever you want to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Isn't it amazing? It says well-pleasing, that we can bring pleasure to God. When he looks down and he sees, oh, there's another living sacrifice. There's another daughter, another one, and they're serving me. I'll tell you, that brings God great pleasure. And the reason that we do it, look what Paul says. He says it's because it's your reasonable service, or literally it's your reasonable spiritual worship. It's where you're in perfect harmony with God. In other words, it is the logical thing for any believer who's been saved to say, Lord, here I am. I want to do what's right. Why is it that so many believers in the 21st century, that they are afraid to wholly give themselves to God? What are you afraid of? I'm challenging you right now, and I'm doing it in love. I'm not beating on you. I don't beat the sheep or fleece the sheep. I feed the sheep. Amen? Amen? Amen. They're in trouble. No, listen. The thing is that, you know, life is one adventure when you follow the Lord. I promise you, I'm nearly 67 years old now. I would not change one thing in the last 40 years of following Christ. Do you understand me? Not one thing. All the training and the discipline, the training for reigning and all the rest of it that I've gone through, thinking that God let me down when he never let me down, thinking that he led me over here to punish me when he didn't send me over there to punish me, but he's always leading me in victory wherever I go, wherever you go. He always leads us in triumph, amen? But see, do you know that and do you really believe that? Oh, man, don't ever be afraid to give yourselves wholly to God. Why? Because God will use you. He'll use you to bring a word of healing to someone. He'll use you to go all the way around the world to bring a little orphan girl home. Do you understand? He'll do great and mighty things through you. Why? You're his body. You'll lay hands upon the sick. You'll remove the chains of darkness by the power of the Holy Spirit from the lost and set people free. Oh, that's what it means to be a living sacrifice. Listen, God wants you to do the impossible because God is the God of the impossible. Amen. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:4, it says, coming unto him, meaning Jesus, coming unto him as to a living stone. Our Savior is alive, man. He's not only here with us, he's seated at the right hand of God. It goes on and it says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, chosen by God. Oh, and he's precious. Now listen to what it says about us. You also, Christian, as living stones, plural, we have the same title as our Lord. Think about that. You see, this is the church. You're different. Some of you are fat stones, skinny stones, tall stones, short stones, black stones, brown stones, whites, but we're all one. Amen. We're living stones unto God. And it says, and look what, let me read it. And we're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And here's the purpose: to offer spiritual sacrifices, living sacrifices, acceptable or well-pleasing to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, there is a heresy in the church today. Well, it's always been in the church, I should say. And the heresy is this, that all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, accept his free grace, his unmerited favor, his divine favor, and be saved. And after that, you have absolutely no moral obligation to do anything else. Loved one, that's not true. Did you notice that before God asked us to do one thing, Paul took us through 11 chapters of doctrine telling us who we are in Christ, what we've been saved from, and who we are. Heaven is our home, the peace we have with God, all of that. And then when we get to chapter 12, he finally says, now in light of all that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your bodies now as a living sacrifice unto God. Doctrine always comes first. Griffith Thomas put it this way. He says, after doctrine comes duty, and after revelation, meaning the revelation of God's word, comes responsibility, and after principles becomes practice. Warren Wiersbe put it this way about Christians today. He said, the problem with a living sacrifice is that he or she keeps crawling off the altar. We don't want to do that. Listen, what is a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is not only a believer that offers himself to the Lord completely, but off, you know, and your body, your faculties, all that you are, but he also does something else. Besides your body, you offer God your mind. Look at this in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this what? This world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Do not be conformed. Did you know that is a command? That's not an option or a suggestion. It's a commandment. Matter of fact, you could read it this way. Stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after the world. The word conform comes from the root word scheme. In other words, don't be patterned after the schemes of this world. You know, do you ever just think about how everything changes every year? I mean, this fad comes in, that fad goes out. I mean, you know what? If I'd have kept all my clothes from the 60s, I'd be back in style today. You understand? If y'all knew how I felt this morning, you'd have pity on me, but I can tell that you don't. Listen, we are not of this world. We're not of this world. This is not our home. We're pilgrims, we're sojourners, we're passing through, loved one. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it tells us that now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit from God, that we might know the things that God has freely given unto us. James 1:27 tells us to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. You walk through this world, you get dirty, you gotta clean yourself up. That's why you go to the Lord in prayer. No, listen, we're a people that have overcome the world. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Listen to J.B. Phillips' translation, one I love dearly. He says, don't let the world around you, the world that we live in, Christian, squeeze you into its mold. The world doesn't tell, I don't like the world to tell me how to dress. You know what I'm saying? Somebody told me the other day, you need to spike your hair, have it red, and wear skinny, tight jeans. Well, I'm not going to tell you what I did to that person. No, listen, the world has a plan for you. The world wants you to act like they act, think like they think. They have a plan for you, loved one, Christian. They want you to become a victim. That's what the world does. It's full of victims, you know, but we've overcome the world. Well, the world is a dangerous place. People don't believe that today, but it is a dangerous place. Even though we have overcome the wicked one, the god of this age, the Bible says, is he still kind of running things around here? Absolutely. It's a dangerous place. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what is he talking about loving the world? Is he talking about the trees and the forest and the streams and the rivers and the fish? And listen, he's talking about the world system that God rescued us from.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. We appreciate you listening to Love Never Fails, and we pray the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.